Ce instrumente are TikTok pentru a controla manipularea, dezinformarea, fake news-urile? Ce face mai exact? Cum pot fi oamenii manipulați în social media? Identificăm tehnici folosite pentru a ne fi mai ușor să le observăm acolo, în spațiul virtual. Care este vârsta potrivită pentru a avea un cont de TikTok? Și cum putem folosi social media într-o variantă, într-o modalitate echilibrată, cu responsabilitate? Răspunsurile la Smart Job. Ukash Gabler, hello. Thank you for being here and thank you for accepting this interview.
Yes, hello. Thank you for inviting us to come to your studio and be part of the discussion that we are going to have.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. A little bit tired after the event that we hosted today here in Bucharest, but ready to have this discussion with you.
You came to Romania for an event organized by you, by TikTok, in partnership with World Vision Romania, about the impact of social media on teenagers and families, about how we can maintain healthful balance between the online and offline environment. I will talk to you about this event because it is very important. Smart Job is a podcast about fake news, misinformation, manipulation, as you know, about how to protect ourselves from fake news. So your presence here is very important for us. Experts say that there is so much noise on social media, on TikTok, on Facebook, on Instagram. Save the Children Romania is saying that 6 out of 10 children are affected by negative online experiences, cyberbullying, threats. People are hostile on social media. There is no room anymore for arguments. Their emotions are speculated. We talk about fear, panic, sadness, I don't know, maybe joy or happiness. So my first question is that, is this in fact the purpose of social media, to speculate emotions, to divide people? No, you're saying no.
Of course not. No. The social media were not created for this purpose. Our purpose was to create a space where people can present freely whom they are, what they feel, how they see the world, and also to express freely the opinions about, you know, different issues and topics. And we do everything to keep this space open for everyone. And this requires from us, of course, ensuring that the space is safe for everyone. And as TikTok, we incorporate multiple policies as well as our community guidelines and tools, and also make this huge human effort to keep the platform safe for everyone, so it stays a place where they can actually find interesting and inspiring, but also entertaining content.
So you do not think that the purpose, the goal of social media is to divide or to misinform or to manipulate people?
Of course, it was not the way how the social media were created and what stood behind those who were thinking about the platforms. The platforms were created for the people to actually, you know, like find community, find support, find a way to talk to each other, as well as to learn, to entertain themselves, and also to get inspired, as have seen our role in this digital world as TikTok. Because our mission is actually to bring people the inspiration, to educate them, as well as to present them the outside world that they are not able to experience while actually living in the real world as well.
Maybe the problem is that we do not have now a manual with instructions for using TikTok, for example, or for using social media. We need this manual. Do you have it?
Yeah, the manual, it's, it exists, I do think. I mean, social media, it's not actually so new anymore, okay? There are like, TikTok is maybe relatively new on the market, but we've been living with it for more than 10 or even 15 years. So I think all of us, we do know perfectly how to use it in terms of, you know, like the solutions that are offered. Mm-hmm. What actually happened is that we forgot that while being online, we should also stick to some rules that we follow while, you know, living in the regular world. Mm-hmm. And this is something what I think people should be reminded, okay, that it's not something separate, you know, that it's a part of your daily life now, being also in the internet and on social media. So also following the rules that are being set, you know, like in the... I mean, non-digital world, I mean, they're also binding on social platforms. And actually, community guidelines, so something what we have presented to our users, they follow, I mean, the rules that generally exist, you know, and different communities. Those community guidelines, they set the rules for what it's allowed and for what is not allowed to happen on the platform. And we stick to them, mm-hmm, and we present them to our community in a way so it's easy to understand. So we also take care of those community guidelines to be written in a simple language. Mm-hmm. We update them frequently also so they stay in line with the developments, you know, that are happening constantly, you know, on different markets. And they basically mirror, you know, what's being discussed, you know, like in this offline world. Also, so we mm-hmm stick to the rules that have been agreed in this non-online environment.
Give me three benefits of TikTok and, mm-hmm, of course, three dangers that people expose themselves to on social media.
Mm-hmm. First of all, the benefit of TikTok, the first one would be like getting inspired. Okay. This is something what our community cherish the most. I mean, finding the videos or the information or the materials that present to them this educative kind of a character, mm-hmm, okay? People are actually looking for those kind of information. And they learn quite a lot on TikTok. We have, like, research which confirms that, for example, in the cultural area, 68% of our community have confirmed that, you know, thanks to being able to find different content coming from cultural institutions. I don't know, it might be a museum, it might be a cinema, it might be also an opera. They've learned something new.
So
about the culture. So
learning.
It's inspiring, learning. And then, of course, I mean, it's also a tool that it's important for example, small businesses. Okay. So if you run your small business, there is no better place to promote yourself, to show how you are working, what you are doing, than the TikTok, mm-hmm, and our platform.
And three dangers that people expose themselves to on social media.
Yeah, there are like some industry-wide challenges that we face. And actually, I think that people should be very aware that social media is also a place where they can find, I mean, informations which might not be actually true. This is, of
fake
course,
news.
Yeah, so-called fake news. The second I would say would be trying to also be humble. I mean, in terms of not presenting yourself as an expert. I mean, and not feeling that I know everything about the social media. Mm-hmm. So trying to understand how it actually works. It's crucial if someone wants to stay safe on the internet and also like feel safe on the internet, on the platforms. And in terms of the third challenge that we face, it's I think I would say maybe some lack of general knowledge about communication online.
Okay.
I would say people not treat the communication online in the same way as the one that we have in the real life. Mm-hmm. They tend to forget that what they say via the platforms, via the chats that we have, that work also on the platforms or general internet, has the same kind of the meaning and has you know the same kind of impact, okay, that the words that we say, you know, in the non-digital,
yeah,
world.
Yeah. You mentioned fake news that, mm-hmm, we can find on social media. What tools do you have to control fake news on TikTok, mm-hmm, for example? What exactly do you do?
So generally, I mean, fake news is not a new phenomenon. So
define fake news. What is fake news?
Fake news is of course like a kind of the information that it's given in a way so it resembles like a real news, like coming from media. Okay, so that's the basic definition of it. And we know quite a lot about it already because it's not a new phenomenon. Yeah. I mean, it has been present in the past. It's already a problem, but I'm quite convinced that it will still stay with us.
Okay.
So what we do to remove any misinformation, fake news from the platform that it's not allowed on TikTok, and our community guidelines are clear on it, it's simply working with the moderation of the content.
Okay. What does it mean?
Mm-hmm. The moderation that we have... it's based on three steps. The first one is pre-moderation. So when someone wants to upload the video to the platform, it's being checked by our technology. Okay, so the AI systems, they scan the video and they check if everything what's being said in it, it's actually allowed according to our community guidelines. Mm-hmm. So that's the first step. But sometimes the context is a bit more nuanced and it requires also human moderation. So that's when the technology actually sends the video to the human moderators who can, also verify it by themselves. So that would be the first step. The second one is that we also monitor what's happening on the platform, We also react to the reports that come from general users of TikTok.
So to report is very important.
It is. It actually is. We very much encourage users of our platforms to use the tools. They are very intuitive. They are very simple. It's just like doing three clicks and you already can report the content. You don't even need to explain to us why you think a given video, according to you, it's a fake news. Mm-hmm. It's up to our experts to check it. Okay. So it's a very easy process.
With all these tools, we can still find on TikTok fake news. So that means that you cannot control them 100%.
It's the issue that it's going to be a constant struggle, and we are aware of it, that there are people who will be trying to use platforms, social media, internet, also to spread fake information. Mm-hmm. And we are becoming more and more efficient in removing the misinformation from the platform. Around 98% of the content that could be characterized as the misinformation is being removed by us proactively.
Okay.
So it means that no one has seen it.
Okay.
But at the same time, those, let's call them bad actors, who want to abuse the platforms and internet or the social media, they are also trying to, be smarter than us and also work with the technology to still, post the content that it's disinformation.
So we are talking about how can you control fake news on TikTok or manipulation or misinformation. Let's take an example. Let's say that we have some fake news about the war in Ukraine on TikTok. How can you stop it? How can you control it? How can you say this is truth, this is a lie, this is fake news, this is reality?
This is a very good question because it shows how difficult this task is. Okay, because actually, as I've mentioned, the technology is able to do quite a lot. And quarter by quarter, we see how accurate it's becoming. But then, we have those human moderators who also work with the content. But sometimes our internal experts even have doubts about, what to do with a given content. And that's where the fact checkers come to help us. We, as signatories of the Code of Practice Against Disinformation on the European level, we've also decided to incorporate the cooperation with the fact-checking institutions, which help us to assess, the credibility of material that we find on the platform that maybe also has been reported by the users. But even them sometimes have problems with saying or assessing if a given message is a correct one or not. And there are different tools which allow us to limit, for example, visibility of this material. This is all described in our policies. So, I mean, this is like a clear kind of the work that we are doing. Materials that we treat as unreliable, but we can remove them because even fact checkers have not been able to say that they are factual or fake, are simply not being recommended by our algorithms, so they will not appear on the For You feed page of TikTok. This is one way of doing it, for example, you know, next to, of course, I mean, removing the content. But what we treat also as an important issue, and actually this is a good example what we do, because we have this mechanism which informs the users about war in Ukraine as well. It's educating.
Okay.
There are like different mechanisms which are based on the search intervention mechanism, which allow us to also educate the users of the platform, so they are aware, you know, when finding a kind of the material referring to war in Ukraine. They should be more critical in thinking when analyzing it. And actually, for Ukraine, it works like this. I mean, when you try to search for the material which is related with war in Ukraine, a dedicated pop-up window will appear on the screen, encouraging you to be more proactive in verifying the information that you see on the screen.
Give me a number or a percent when it comes to control to stop fake news on TikTok. I don't know, on a scale from 1 to 10, where are you? Stopping fake news? 5, 6?
No, it's 98%, as I told you. I mean, this is quite an efficient system that we have, and we see that it's like becoming more and more efficient. I mean, the AI and the technology, as well as our experts. But as we've discussed it at the very beginning, this is an ongoing effort, you know, so there is no finish line and fight against the disinformation on the platforms. So I mean, it would be a dream for every platform to remove 100% of the fake news.
Yeah. We have this new technique of manipulation, female figures generated by AI, artificial intelligence, to gather followers and reactions. These are new techniques, I understand, of manipulation, of attracting attention. After such accounts become popular, they could redirect people's attention, maybe for another purpose, maybe political purposes. At this moment, can TikTok discern between what is real and what is created by AI? What TikTok could do about that?
So the AI, like, created content. We see that it is like more and more popular to use AI tools for creation of different videos.
Or accounts.
Or, I mean, videos as well. I mean, this is, I think, the issue that you've mentioned in your question. I mean, people are using AI also, I mean, to create, I mean, entertaining content, educational content, you know, like also to work, they also positively work with those tools. But we are, of course, perfectly aware that as every tool that exists, this can be also used in a way that, I mean, it's not working well for our society. And we also believe that those kind of the materials which have been created with the AI should be labeled correctly. So every user is perfectly aware what he or she is watching on TikTok. Has been lining created artificially or with use of those dedicated tools. So that's why we have this labeling system. Every video that it's being created on TikTok with the tools that we have built within the app, it's automatically labeled as AI-generated content. But we also perfectly understand that there is quite a lot of people who are using different software to create this kind of the content. I don't know, Adobe, ChatGPT, or maybe even software provided by our competitors. That's why TikTok became a part of a wider movement, which is called, I mean, the abbreviation is C2PA. This is a movement and a kind of the agreement that exists between those different companies or providers of different AI, you know, tools that starting from the last year, we insert a dedicated code line into the materials prepared with our tools. Those codes are then automatically recognized by all the applications that are part of this agreement. And it also helps us to show the, to automatically add this label to the material that has been created outside of the platform. Okay. So this is like the ongoing work, but I think that we are like getting better in it. And thanks to this cooperation, we will finally, make it happen that all of the videos uploaded to the different platforms will be labeled.
Yeah. You spoke about the tools that TikTok has for control fake news. What tools should people have to control fake news on TikTok, to discern between true and false? What do you recommend to them to do?
We do empower our users and community, and we educate them on the issue of how to, critically analyze what
critical
they see online.
Thinking, yeah.
And this is very, very important because, as we've mentioned at the beginning of our discussion, misinformation, fake news, they will stay with us. There might be a different tools that will be simply used to disseminate it, but they will stay with us. And understanding how it works, you know, the misinformation, and also how to recognize it, it's actually a kind of a general knowledge that will be useful also for the future. So we educate the users on, first of all, how to recognize it.
How?
The first step is that when you see that the content that, you know, you have on the screen makes you feel angry or makes you feel maybe unsafe. So you can see that it's playing around your emotions. That would be the very first signal that we should consider as, okay, stop, let's pause, let's see why I'm reacting to this material in that way. Because what we know about the disinformation is that it's very often emotional content that is playing around the emotions. So that's the first step. And then when you stop, you have the time to analyze the content. Okay. I mean, the credibility of the source is also very important to check it. And that's the second step. I mean, to see who created it. Is there any author even, you know, behind this information? Where this material comes from? How did I get it? So those are like a very, very basic and simple question. Nobody needs to be an expert, you know, like to recognize.
But that needs effort.
That needs effort. And unfortunately, we know that, people need to learn that this effort is needed. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have this tendency to accept naturally every information that comes to us as being true. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been approved. I mean, this has been like researched by the, you know, like psychologists and confirmed. But now we need to learn people also that, you know, being careful is also a good way of like reading the messages.
Yeah. In Romania, any minor under 16 must have parental consent to open social media accounts, according to a project adopted by the Romanian Senate. Do you think this is the right age, 16, to have a social media account? And if yes, explain us why.
TikTok was created as a safe experience for the users who are above 13 years old. And we are sure that the platform is working in this way, that it ensures the environment, you know, safe for the teenagers. What is, however, important is to remember that you cannot, treat this group, let's call them teenagers, as a unified group. It's important to understand that there are different specifics for different age groups. And at TikTok, we do understand that there is no one tool that allows to regulate the presence of the teenagers on the platforms. That's why when designing the safety tools on the platform, we also have different approach to different age groups, 13 to 15, 16 to 18. Because, you cannot, I mean, compare someone who is 17 with someone who is 15 even, you know. So that's the first thing. So there cannot be one approach, one silver bullet to solve the issue around the presence of young people on the platform. That's our approach.
So you are saying that the right age to have an account on social media is about 14?
It depends on the provider because, I mean, different platforms have been created for different social groups, different age groups. In our case, we have worked from the very beginning to ensure that the environment that we provide is suitable for those who are, you know, above 13 years. And then we, of course, provide them with the experience that's suitable for their age group. Okay, so for the youngest, it would be the age 13 to 15.
Yeah. You came here in Romania, as I said, for an event about parental control. What do you recommend to parents to protect their children from inappropriate content on social media? Parental control, is it a myth or reality?
No, it's not a myth, but we cannot treat a parental control only as a tool that we have that has been provided by the application. We do, of course, offer this tool. We've been the first platform who offered this kind of a solution already 5 years ago. But those tools, I mean, which allows you, like in our case, I don't know, control the time that, the child spends on the application, or you can even see, I mean, what kind of the video the child is watching, or maybe also who is, who is the most interesting creator for your child. This is like just one step. But what we also encourage the parents to do is to have like this very important conversation with their children around, I mean, how to behave safely online, what they should be careful about. We do believe that sometimes parents, I mean, maybe forget, you know, to instruct their children, you know, how to behave safely online when they give them the very first mobile phones. Why we don't have the same kind of approach, you know, as being parents, as we do have when we allow our child to go outside alone for the very first time. You know, I mean, when I allowed my son to go to school alone for the very first time, I gave him instructions, you know, be careful, you're going to cross the street, first look left and right and left, and then maybe you can cross the street. If there is a light, you know, the red one, you need to stop, the green one, you can go. So why we don't give the same kind of instructions to our children?
Did they use it? Did parents use parental control?
As our research showed, yes, the parents, they use it. But there is still a place for promotion of it because not all of them, you know the tools. What the research that we did showed is that, of course, I mean, the people who are better educated, they have also a better understanding of how social platform works and how crucial it is for them to have those discussions with the young people. So there is quite a lot of work to do still for us to promote this kind of, approach, educational approach, so the parents are more aware of what they can actually do.
Do you have a child?
Yes, I do.
11 years old?
11 years old, yes, and, it's my son.
Did you allow him to have a social media account?
He has a mobile phone, yes.
Okay.
And he also uses mainly apps that allow him to play the games.
Okay.
There are no currently in Poland, actually, platforms that do allow children who are below age of 13 to to be present on.
He's not on TikTok.
No, he's not.
And do you have a timer for him? He uses mobile phone for an hour a day.
Yes, we have those rules. Those are home rules. We call it like this. It works very well, and I do recommend it. It's not easy, but there is a need for us, for the parents, to have those discussions with children and also set up some rules that are common for everyone at home, okay? Because if we just impose the rules to children and they see us scrolling, working with the phones constantly, we don't show a good example to them. Mm-hmm. So we have those set of home rules that we follow with my family, and it's working quite well. I don't say it's easy. Mm-hmm. It's an effort. But, I mean, every parent wants to ensure that, you know, their children are safe mm-hmm. wherever they go, whether it's the online world or the real world. So I take it as my responsibility to have those conversations mm-hmm. with him.
And what do you tell him about social media or about TikTok? About your job?
Of course, he's interested in the platform, and he asked a lot of questions about it. Mm-hmm. So I tried to explain to him how actually the platform works, you know, to explain to him as well that maybe, you know, something what he will see in the future is, I mean, just mm-hmm. a creation. You don't need to treat it as being like a real case example, okay? Because, you know, many of the creators that create like content for the platform, they also do it and treat it as a way of self-expression. But it doesn't mean that, for example, the world works like they portrayed it, you know, in the given movie. And the children, they do understand it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you explain it to them, they are capable of understanding, you know, the mechanisms.
Give me three steps that you are using when it comes to educate your own son mm-hmm. to be responsible on social media and to not have his life online, but in the real life.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, as I've mentioned, we are having those
discussions.
Yeah, those discussions mm-hmm. and how our home rules. So we've set up similar limits for ourselves and for him. I do also try to spend a portion of time with him around the discussion and actually learning what he's doing online as well, asking him the questions. I mean, why this is important for you? Why this game is so entertaining to you? I mean, are you alone, you know, when you're playing with it? Or maybe there are also the friends that are doing it with you. So those kind of the discussions, they are very helpful. Not to mention that I'm also learning from him mm-hmm. mm-hmm. quite a lot about, you know, those new games that that do appear frequently. And I think that the third thing is that let's use also something what we already have. So, okay. I mean, the tools provided by platforms like our family pairing solution, you know, they are very easy to use. Mm-hmm. They are very intuitive and easy to set up. Mm-hmm. But I do recommend also to inform your child that, you know, this is something what works for the benefit of, you know, him as well. I mean, let's not just impose it. Let's talk about it and let's make it clear that we are also using those tools for your safety. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in case of my son, it worked perfectly well.
We continue to talk about children in social media. Invited here to Smart mm-hmm. Job, neurologist Cristina Panea, Dr. Cristina Panea, says that social media can reconfigure the brain. Social media leads to isolation, fear of responsibility, aggression. Children's cognitive performance decreases in terms of judgment, thinking, decision-making, memory. Their human interaction capacities decrease, empathy decreases, emotion sensitivities. All these disappear, says doctor, or are greatly reduced. Does TikTok know this? I mean, are you worried about this? Because there are so many statistics, data, information, specialists that are talking about the negative impact mm-hmm. of social media on children's development. Mm-hmm.
This is a very good question, actually. Maybe I will start with just simply explaining how actually, you know, mm-hmm. the platform and everything what we offer on it works. Because we do not work on the tools, solutions, the features that we offer only alone, okay? Mm-hmm. We always cooperate with the experts. We always cooperate with researchers. And next to, academia, we also have our own councils that advise us in terms of developing the features on the app. And
what are they saying
and
about
this
that?
This is something what I'm trying to explain here, that everything what we offer is evidence-based, okay? Based on the research, based on the solutions which are proposed by researchers, psychologists, as well as experts coming from the academia. Let me give you one example. We've observed for many, many years that there was discussion around the time spent on the app. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've took this issue seriously, and we've decided to consult it with specialists. On this occasion, we've been cooperating with Boston Children's Hospital, mm-hmm. a digital lab. We've entered into the dialogue with them and asked them, actually, I mean, to work with us on the solution, mm-hmm. on the solution of how we should actually, you know, like play around this time spent on the app. And what came out from this discussion was that actually, I mean, the research does not define the right time spent on social media. Okay, actually, what the researchers told us is that it's more important what you do during this time that you spend than the time itself. So this was like evidence that we got from the researchers. As I've mentioned, we constantly cooperate with them. And we also hear from many of those researchers that there is also a growing research area, as well as the reports and analysis and evidence coming that some simplistic approach to the issue of how social media impacts, mm-hmm. you know, the well-being of the people are not actually correct.
Why not?
Because there are also like researches which confirm that, you know, some of the facts that are being presented by experts, they are actually not true. It's enough to mention some universities like Oxford University, University College of London, which has produced already studies which have like a credible evidence based on a long year research which shows that social media do not have this kind of the impact on the well-being of people who are using it, as it's very often underlined in discussions.
But if we spend 5, 6, 7 hours a day on social media, I believe this is a problem. You get to be isolated from others, from community.
As I've mentioned, the time itself...
You're not living your real life. Yeah. You're living in a virtual life.
As I've mentioned, according to the experts, the time that you spend on the app, mm-hmm. it's not itself as problematic as what you are actually doing it. And it's also important to understand what we are actually doing while using mm-hmm. the internet. Because, I mean, there is like this general notion of people just believing that we, while we spend time on the internet, we are just using, social media. This is especially the kind of the approach that the parents have towards mm-hmm. the children. But when you ask an adult person, how do you use the internet, you know? Because I've seen you doing it like mm-hmm. almost constantly. What kind of the answer you will get?
I am on social media.
No, I mean, many of these parents, they just tell you that, oh, I'm not on social media.
I'm working.
This was like an email that I really had to send. Okay. This was like me reading a newspaper. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do have a different approach where we judge ourselves and how we see what our children are doing online. And understanding it in a better way, and as we've mentioned, having this dialogue also to mm-hmm. get the knowledge about what your child mm-hmm. actually is doing online becomes crucial mm-hmm. because it's not the time. It's actually what you are doing while being online.
We will also have the danger of being delivered only certain content or the content that TikTok saw we were interested in. You're like in a bubble, you know. What solutions do you see here?
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to mention, first of all, that TikTok is not, I mean, something what we call social media.
You said before we began that you are different from other digital platforms.
We call ourselves entertainment platform, and there is like a reason for this because our recommendation mechanisms, they are not based on the social graph. So it means that we do not recommend content mainly on the basis of who you follow, who is your friend, or maybe, you know, a kind of a network that you have already created online. We do recommend the content on the basis of the interests of a given person. And this is like a completely different approach. Mm-hmm. Also to how we diversify the content on the platform. Because, I mean, we do not recommend something what has been already watched by your friend, but actually something what's interested for you. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second one is that we are completely aware of the fact that serving a kind of a similar content to the person that is using the TikTok, it's not only, I mean, dangerous in terms of what you said about those like mm-hmm. Rabbit holes. So we do have the systems that diversify this this experience. I think, I mean, we also clearly describe what kind of the signals we take into account while, you know, like assessing what we are recommended to mm-hmm. every person that is using TikTok. There is also a similar mechanism that allows us to recommend different kind of the movies. You will not see movies using the same kind of a sound, the same kind of a audio, you know, in a row. You mm-hmm. will not see a content coming from the same creator being recommended to you in a row. There is this general rule that we have, which is based on the number 8. Mm-hmm. It means that 5 of the videos that you see on your For You feed page is closely related to your interests. 2 of the videos are relatively closely related to, you know, what you like. And 1 video is completely random. Mm-hmm. And this is also one of the mechanisms that we use to diversify the experience on TikTok.
Romanian media expert Dragoș Stanca talks about how people's critical thinking is put to the test by social media. Misinformation, says Dragoș Stanca, is an attack on national security. Do you agree? And is social media as well an attack on national global security?
I think that generally critical thinking is a skill that we need, okay? So it's not only social media, but generally the news that we get from around, also from traditional media, needs to be also critically analyzed. So it's not only the issue of the social media. This is the skill that we have not been learned. This is the skill that we still need to develop. And I think that through those educational initiatives that we have, we can immune ourselves and our societies to these risks of misinformation.
And you do not think that social media is an attack on global security or national security?
No, I don't think. Of course, I mean, there might be a kind of a bad actor that would like to use mm-hmm. the tool, I mean, as such, but it has not been created for this purpose, no.
Dragoș Stanca says these networks are rather dangerous and are not a source of information, but mostly of misinformation.
Misinformation, yes, it can be spread. Mm-hmm. It can be spread on the platform. This is something what we've discussed, and this is the challenge that the whole industry has. But then, as I've mentioned, we have the mechanism which will allow us to see whether mm-hmm. this is happening because someone is deliberately doing it, or maybe this is just like people sharing some kind of the content because they think, I mean, this is like information worth of sharing, mm-hmm. you know? This is like also the difference that we have between the misinformation and disinformation, yeah. as you mm-hmm. know, the intent, mm-hmm. okay? So our experts, they follow what's happening online. They have like the expertise in judging whether some messages have been spread deliberately, mm-hmm. whether this was a kind of the organized, you know, like, or coordinated kind of the action, mm-hmm. and we follow it because this is a part of our safety measures. Mm-hmm. This is also important for our business to keep our platform safe. And to remove any kind of the fake engagement that might, be happening on the platform. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Romanian authorities have recently spoken out about Russian hybrid attacks. Networks of trolls and bots have developed thousands of Facebook, Telegram, TikTok pages with messages urging rebellion against the Romanian state, with communist nostalgia, alternative medicine, religious messages. I want to ask you if you believe that could TikTok have done more in Romania? Could TikTok have done more to prevent these attacks in Romania before the Romanian elections?
I think what we need to remember is that there is this difference between how different platform operates. And I do not fully have this feeling that the issue of how the TikTok works is completely like well clear to everyone. Those differences in terms of content, also the issues around the accounts, as well as the issue of the popularity of some of the videos, you cannot, compare it, easily between the platforms. And what we've tried to do, here also in Romania, is to educate everyone, before also the elections, around how the platform works, what are the specifics on TikToks in terms of, producing the content, and also working around the elections. We've managed to get with this information to some of the experts, but at the beginning we found it very difficult. But then later on they were much more open to work with us, as well as to cooperate with our experts on also securing the electoral process. And I think this at the end worked very well. We cooperated closely, not only with the authorities here in Romania, but also with the civil society organizations who helped us as well in our efforts aimed at educating the users. Our media literacy campaigns, which have been especially designed for the Romanian market, reached out to millions of users. If I'm not mistaken, the videos that we've produced have reached out to the audiences 100 billion times. So it's quite a huge success for us. And this is what we did. And I think that at the end, it worked very well.
Can you say that now you are able to easily or better identify or stop, control these networks of trolls and bots?
This is, as I've mentioned, a still developing kind of area of, constant fight with those bad actors. And we are learning on every day, how they try to abuse the platforms. We do collect every single information that we can find on the market, also specifying how, for example, different platforms have been used for the same purpose, also to learn from those experiences. And I feel that our experts are, constantly educating themselves. Okay. There is no other way than just trying to be, the most, educated expert in this field.
There was a talk in the European Parliament about the massive promotion of a certain political candidate on social media, especially on TikTok, before the presidential elections in Romania. How did this happen? Can you explain us the process? A certain candidate which has been sustained on TikTok, before the presidential elections in Romania. How did this happen?
So first of all, as I've mentioned, there is a huge difference in how the platform works. Okay, and we've seen that very often when there was a discussion around the TikTok, we've been compared with different platforms. The metrics have been also, compared with different platforms, and how they've worked, you know, up till that very moment. And it's not like the best way of assess what happened. We've also tried to explain that, you know, the world is like a little bit more complex in terms of, you know, what happened during the elections, that it's not only one platform that the politicians were active on, but there is like a number of the platforms that we've seen have been used for the political communication. As a result of that, we think that we've achieved a better understanding of our mechanisms. We've achieved also a good cooperation with the Romanian authorities and understanding of the measures that we have taken to secure this process.
And what was your response to the Romanian authorities regarding what happened? What did you say to them?
From the very beginning, we've been very open for a dialogue with the Romanian authorities. We've provided them not only with the information around the platform itself, how it works, but also provided the mechanism that allows us to swiftly moderate the process on the platform. Those mechanisms have been very efficient, and what we now see is that this cooperation it's also developing in a good direction.
Professor, University Professor Mihnea Măruță believes that too much social media robs people of the simple fact of living their lives. How do you feel about that?
It depends how one assesses, you know, what the time spent.
What do you do
exactly
on social media?
What
time
exactly
do you spend?
Because
there?
I can actually understand that if someone is watching educational content, it's very hard to assess it as being something negative. I mean, as we've discussed, there is a real need for the people to understand of how generally we use platforms like TikTok and for what kind of a purpose.
How do you protect yourself from fake news? What are your personal tools? What do you do?
My personal tools? I'm humble in terms of reminding myself that I'm not expert in everything. So when I read something that I don't fully understand, I stop myself from sharing, for example, this information. Okay. And as I've mentioned, I mean, when I see something what triggers my emotions, this is like the signal that I treat very seriously, that maybe something what I'm seeing is actually a mess or disinformation. That would be my advice, to understand that we have the right to not to understand everything, and we have the right to admit that, you know, we need to check something, that we are not experts in something, and that we need to be careful about, you know, the content that we are giving. And the second one, it's the issue of emotions.
Okay. My last question, Lukas Gabler. Let's say you are not a public policy and government relations manager for CEE at TikTok. Let's say you are a teacher or a driver or, I don't know, a journalist, a doctor, and you have a child, and your child spends 5, 6, 7, 8 years, hours a day on social media. How can you convince your child that you want him back, that he can live his own life here in the real world, not in the online environment? What do you do for your child?
First of all, I would try to analyze the situation, okay? Because, I mean, it's not something what happened out of the sudden. So I would think also about myself, about me being a parent, well, and whether I was, you know, like really delivering to my child the right information of how to use the social media correctly. Because the fact that someone is watching, I don't know, something for 7 or for 8 hours, it's not something what appears, you know, unexpectedly now and here. It's most probably the habit that have been developing for some time already, okay? And that's why it requires a discussion. It requires the discussion with the child. It requires also a work with yourself, because as I've mentioned, very often children also take an example from us, from the parents. So if they also see us using the telephones constantly, they will simply use the same pattern in their lives. And then it's also crucially important to come out with a solution, what we can offer instead. Are there any ways of how I can make this child, I mean, interested in different things, what I can actually do? And sometimes, very often, just this simple conversation is very helpful because we send the signal that, you know, you are important to me. I do really want to have discussion with you. And come back. Yeah.
In conclusion, the treatment for fake news is education, critical thinking, strong rules on platforms, on digital platforms.
That's true. I mean, education, it's very important, first of all, for us to be prepared and also to immune ourselves against something what exists not only on social platforms. So that's, I would say, number one. And it's also a recommendation that it's visible in every report. I mean, whatever you read around the issue of and the challenge of misinformation, disinformation, there is always a recommendation to educate people. And the second one, it's, as you've mentioned, critical thinking. So this approach to how I understand what I'm reading, I mean, whether I do have the knowledge, which is enough for me also to guarantee that when I share something, I mean, I'm actually convinced that this is true. And what I've said, I mean, what I do in my case, I mean, being humble, I mean, admitting that I'm not an expert in everything and that sometimes, you know, when digesting this all news that comes to us, we really think to, we really need to, I mean, concentrate for a while and assess the content as something what actually might be quite new for us. Yeah.
Because fake news will be here, maybe forever.
Let's hope that not, but the history shows that it was a part of the society and of our communication for many, many centuries.
Łukasz Gabler, thank you so much for
thank
being
you
here.
Thank you as well.
Întotdeauna vor exista provocări, dileme, dificultăți în viețile noastre, dar mereu există și soluții. Le căutăm împreună la Smart Job, podcastul Europa Liberă. Ne găsești oriunde ai acces la podcast. Sunt Adriana Nedelea, de la Europa Liberă, pe curând!